Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Oh, I'm not bragging on myself, baby, but I'm the one who loves you, and there's no one else, no one else.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Maryville sponsors the phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that wonderful school in town and country. Now, Martin, do you know that this player at Vashon, Cameron Fletcher, is one of the great players in the area and probably a top 30 or 40 player in the country?
He's the one that's had Calipari and Bill Self. Everybody's been into the gym.
Yeah. So last night, he cleverly came out with his top five, and it's Michigan State.
Marquette.
It's Kentucky, Mizzou, North Carolina, and Alabama, which is...
Really?
I thought SLU was at least going to make the final five, but that's not good news for the local school, but it is good news for Mizzou because this guy is a terrific talent. I hear Michigan State, and he's been there a couple of times, he's really done a great job there. So let's hope the Tigers.
It's a strong list, but if I'm the local kid, I'd go six deep and I'd throw SLU on there. You just always keep the local team on the list.
Absolutely.
Although I make fun of the kids that have lists of 10 and 12 schools.
Yeah, I applaud them for getting it down to five.
Now, when you look at I haven't actually seen him play in person. You watch his highlight reel. You kind of read some of the stuff about, you know, what he could potentially become when his body fills out. To me, he reminds me of a perfect North Carolina player to where he kind of lengthy, got that shot. They get a lot of those guys. I mean, you can't really go wrong with any of the five
choices.
So
you're saying he's like too skilled and athletic for a Michigan State player?
I think so.
Or is he not studious enough? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
he's going to North Carolina.
No, not saying anything like that. It just reminds me of a North Carolina Roy Williams type athlete.
That's
so
good.
If I had to guess North Carolina, but you can't go wrong with choosing any of those.
I have an idea. Adopting what these high school athletes do, because they narrow it down, and you know they're getting stuff out of it. They're getting a lot of publicity, a lot of attention. The coaches are always calling them when they go from 60 to 25.
Narrow
to
it to 30.
To five. Right. How about we just throw out 10 restaurants where we'd like to do a remote from? And then we keep narrowing it down.
Just
and then
10?
Maybe these remotes start sending us free food. Like, hey, if you want to eat more of this, you got to do it at our restaurant.
Ooh, I like
and
this.
Just keep narrowing it down from like 5 to 4 to 3 and then see what attention and what free stuff we get.
I got my Carl jersey on. So if they want to, I mean, I'm
We've
willing,
narrowed to, this down to,
I'm willing to sign my letter of intent right now for a couple cheeseburgers.
Might take a while.
That was my theory on always listing Hawaii as one of your schools. Like my final.
Because you get
five.
To go to visits.
And then Hawaii goes, who's this Cameron Fletcher? Why? He says he's.
And fly him out.
And they're like, are we really in on this kid? Well, I had never heard of him. Like, oh, he's real. Oh, wow. He might go to Duke. Let's bring him out for a bit. Wouldn't you put Hawaii on there?
But Brian can tell us, from the time you leave your house and you live west, by the time you land in Hawaii, how long will that be?
It means at least 8 hours flying, probably. Maybe a little less. Over 10 hours, if you're thinking about when you get to the airport.
So if you get a little homesick, that's tough.
You're a long way from home.
I wouldn't get homesick if I lived there. No offense to St. Louis.
Maybe I'd put UNLV on there.
It's good to
move. That's a good one.
But and doesn't that have to come into play? If you're a young kid, I'm sure East Lansing is beautiful. But if you could go to North Carolina or East Lansing, spending your winters playing ball, if I'm a young kid, I would think that has to play a role.
Yeah, go to Austin, Texas, and be the king of that whole area just booming. I would love to take as many visits as I can. I would utilize the hell. I think they get six or something like that.
It used to be maybe five now.
Enough to get around the country.
Yeah. Who's the coach at Alabama? Because Avery Johnson, he got fired, didn't he?
Oh, it's
it was another name guy because the SEC basketball has been adding a lot of bigger names. But I've forgotten. But that seems out of nowhere.
Yeah, they could be on a list.
But it is relationships, so maybe somebody came in. Made
it's Nate Oates. Used to be Avery Johnson.
Right, that's what I remembered.
Yeah, and you could picture if Avery was recruiting him.
Oh, old Oatsy, big-time recruiter, right?
I don't know.
What's his background?
He was at Buffalo. He was a former Buffalo head coach.
Oh, they've had a lot of great success. I mean, he did have some runs, so.
Former assistant at Wisconsin Whitewater.
Well, that explains it all.
Yes.
Recruiter.
All great coaches come from Wisconsin.
The connection to the V. All right, let's tee up five for Frank here every day in the 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by our friends at Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
I was not anticipating the elongated university there.
Yeah,
sorry.
I felt like I was the Oscars. I was getting rushed off the intro. All right, Frank, what is the percentage after Howard Richards got mad at you yesterday because you said, oh, Mizzou, they can't go 10 That what's the percentage that maybe I texted Howard and said, oh, I'm sorry about that, Howard. I cannot believe I've got you guys at 12-0.
I'd say 100%.
Well, you are correct.
And he knew you were being sarcastic.
I hope. But I said, Howard, I can't believe it. I said, I've got him at 12-0. This is just crazy. Frank can't even get him to 10-2. And so we've now aligned in our bold predictions for Mizzou.
He said, come on, Frank. Where's your optimism? Boy, that's terrible.
All right, Frank, name another industry where you can just waste millions and millions
government.
Of dollars. Well, that's true. Greg Holland, it was pointed out when they were in town with Arizona, made $14 million last year for the Cardinals, had zero saves. Brett Cecil will be paid $30 million, and I don't even know if he lives in St. Louis. Is there any other business where you can walk in, they're having the meetings like, all right, Holland, yeah, $14 million, yeah, that didn't work. There's no business where you could say, I got this office building. Yeah, you guys greenlit it for $14 million. Yeah, that didn't happen. I'm sorry, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Where'd the money go? Yeah, it just didn't work out.
Like, I always am baffled by some of these NFL guys who get the franchise tag. Oh, this is terrible. And yet they're making, like, you know, 14 or 15 million, the average of the top five at their position. You know, and then some of these NBA guys, oh, I have to go on a yearly basis. Like, J.J. Redick makes $20 million a year for he did it for 2 years in a row in Philadelphia. I don't care if it's a long-term deal. As long as you're signing these big monster deals, it's just crazy.
Yeah, and I think Orlando got that a couple years in a row. They just slapped the franchise.
Yeah.
And you get paid a huge number. You don't get the long-term deal, but it's a big number. I just, at the end of the year in pro sports, if they're in a room, hey, what about that one guy? Yeah, we gave him $20 million, didn't work. Okay, what else? Or you can just basically laugh it off. There's no business where you...
Yeah.
The head of KSDK can't go to the ownership group and say, yeah, I just made a mistake. I'm sorry. We just spent $14 million that we didn't need to. Like, oh, okay.
How about, too, that what Brett Cecil has meant to the St. Louis Cardinal organization, as opposed to a guy like Trevor Rosenthal, and think of the difference in the money made. Cecil's going to end up, Brian, I think, with 30.5. What did Trevor Rosenthal, for his really fine seasons... And one of them was an all-star season.
I bet he made, a bunch the last year? Big number. So he probably made about $15 million total.
He's made 20 to date.
Trevor. But in St. Louis with the
Cardinals, he made 5.6 in 2016, a little over 6 in 2017. Before that were low numbers, 490, 521, 535. Trevor, by the way, back in the bigs. Detroit brought him up. He's made one appearance and looked pretty good. One hit, no earned runs, no runs in general, and two strikeouts.
Great.
That's someone you'd like to see get
that's
it back.
That's awesome.
Because he was bad in their AAA affiliate. He was not pitching well.
But
he,
Frank, if for, in Washington.
For, no, well, and, in for, Toledo, and for he was really Detroit. Bad. He was not doing well in their
so they, but they brought him up despite that.
I wonder if you're Detroit.
You're
what
29
if he,
and 61,
when you're bad,
way.
You probably could use the help. But what if you bring up Trevor and he's good for a week and a half? You could probably flip that
trade
for something.
Him, right.
Yeah.
I think they look at the deadline and say, this guy might still have value. Let's bring him up.
Yeah.
And we're Detroit. We're going nowhere. So who cares? But to Frank's point, Trevor probably made a little under 15 with the Cardinals, and Brett Cecil will make 30-ish.
30 and a half. Next year is his last year in the contract. So,
I mean, you don't even see the guy. God bless him. I know he was real an open book at spring training, been through a lot. Nobody's rooting against him, but it's weird.
He's, I mean, got that carpal tunnel.
He's not even around. And what's Jericho making this year? San Diego might be paying a little bit of it. He's still, isn't he making about $9 million? $10
million? Yeah.
And
13, five of which paid by the Padres.
Okay. So he's getting $13 million.
And I get Wainwright's incentive driven, but the incentives, what, were under a 4 ERA and 10 win. To me, that $10 million is kind of a lot for that. And then you got Wong next year jumping up to $10 million.
But you don't mind paying Wainwright that money.
No, that one you can't complain about. I'm just saying, even paying a guy $10 million for, you know, his production is there, but it just seemed that may be a little bit much for his age, $10 million. But it's incentive laden. I get that.
But don't you think that, like, if you were in charge of sports today, that the what you do is try to make all contracts incentive laden? I mean, if you do this, then you get that. I mean, we'll never get to that because of how powerful the unions are. But that's the way sports should be.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, if you get to 30 homers, you make a little more. You get to 40, you get a little more.
And I'm fine with that. But when the incentives are kind of easy to get to and the money is huge to hit those incentives, I get under four ERA is nothing to scoff about. But, you know, if I'm paying $10 million to a guy, you know, I think
in this era, With the juiced ball and the home run.
100%, yes.
If you have an ERA under four, that's good. I agree with you. Like, if you would have said that, you know, 5 years ago, or even 10 years ago, that doesn't mean anything. But, boy, if you're under four now, that's good. You're pitching.
I think the 12 wins, that is definitely worth an incentive bonus there for sure.
And it's not just that the bar is low for him or here. It's just baseball. You know?
Yeah, for these pitching, guys, for sure, yeah.
You could probably be a fourth. Number four in the starting rotation, and you're going to get $10-11 million. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Hey, by the way, you brought up so the Cardinals are paying, or the Padres are paying some of Jerko.
Yep.
The Cardinals are paying some of Leak.
A lot of Leaks.
Yeah. What
now,
about
if this were a milkshake bet? Frank would call. He'd be Mozeliak, and he would call San Diego and say, "Hey, can you just pay?
I'll get a half a milkshake here
because we owe them for Leak."
Well, what other ones are we getting help on, or are we helping someone else?
That's
is there anything else?
That's a good question. Let me see.
Players who left.
Not
in the
Voight,
middle of the deal. Voight
not
and Fam.
Fam
were not money guys.
So not paying Gretschuk or Piscotty. Those were straight up deals.
Right. You're paying on. Although Piscotty, I'm not positive.
Because I think we're paying some of that because
Oakland's
so cheap.
Doesn't have any money. I think they might be paying. I could be wrong.
The worst is you're paying Cecil to just do nothing. I think the worst one. Not even really rehabbing, or maybe somewhat rehabbing. Nobody paying attention to it. Or
has he posted stats in Memphis?
I mean, usually, when it comes to Cardinal baseball, anything obscure is still news. It's like when Balzer talks about, you know, the practice kicker for the Bills.
Wow!
Like you have no. I'm just saying things like that become news because it's pot. You just. It's weird that you never hear about anything about Cecil.
Correct.
I mean, that update, positive or negative,
well, he has
not
carpal
see
tunnel.
Any of that.
He's not pitching at all right now.
Right.
But, what's the significance? Is it stage one?
I wonder
one?
When's the last time he's thrown a ball with the carpal tunnels. By the way, Mike Leake is being paid $5 million by the Cardinals this year, so it's a wash, him and Jed Jerko, even out. next year, the Cardinals will owe Mike Leake $4 million. Jerko, and I'm not sure if this intrigues him or not at all, team option for next year for $13 million. The Cardinals have to pay all of that. So maybe given recent history, he's
you
due for a contract
that.
Extension.
I'm going to guess they won't pick that up.
I think they will.
You do?
Yeah.
What's the number one more time?
$13 million or a $1 million buyout. My money is they pick him up because third base right now is very much in flux.
And you're paying Carpenter $20 million
33
the next 2 years?
Unless they have a secret plan on how to solve third base, it's not.
Can Munoz not play?
Carpenter's number is 20 next year?
I thought it was
19 and a half. Yeah,
I thought it was 20.
Can you imagine? You're $33 million at third base for Jed Jerko and Matt Carpenter.
18 and a half the next two seasons. He has a vesting option for, I guess that might be a vesting option for 2021, but $18.5 million.
I take it back. 18 and a half.
Get him some incentive-laden contracts involved with Matt Carpenter. You know, hit a 30 bombs.
Carpenter, if you beat the shift, you make.
All right, number three.
Floyd Irons checking in, disappointed in camp for not putting Slew on that list. Okay.
Oh.
Thank you, Coach Irons, for supporting the local school.
And tomorrow there'll be an updated list, my top six. He's like, I forgot, lap six.
Going to Vashon,
by the
way.
Monique gave me a vodka drink for breakfast. I forgot about lap six. Number three, 25 years ago, we touched on this last hour. 25 years ago, July 17th, 1994, the hire of Mike Keenan. Give me your reaction that day, covering it, but also some great Keenan stories. I was not here during that era.
Well, one of the things was Mike Claiborne was on the radio on KFNS, and I was on the airplane back from New York with Mike Keenan, And I grabbed the airport phone and I said, Mike, is there any chance we could do an interview live on KFNS?
Wow.
It was the most expensive interview of all time because, you know, you make a phone call in the airplane, it costs like $90 for 2 minutes. So we did a live interview on the plane back to KFNS. We were live outside New York on the, I think it was a Saturday night. We were chasing them all over New York, and that's not an easy city to navigate, especially if you're not there very often.
Chasing
and
Mike Keenan.
And you stop for a slice of pizza every corner.
Exactly. Boy, good pizza. And then that night, it was just, I mean, it was, if we had an hour and 5 minute Sports Plus show, it was probably, you know, 50 minutes of Mike Keenan related content. It was, we're talking about a guy who led the Rangers to the Stanley Cup for the first time in a half a century, choosing St. Louis. It was so huge. Gosh, that was big.
And when did you realize he's not much fun? How quickly did it become sour?
Was it
like a year later? Was it a month later?
Oh, it was a couple months in, yeah. It wasn't very long in. So we put him on the payroll, Channel 5, for Mike Keenan conversations on Friday and on Sundays. And the guy was not dynamic or charismatic at all, had no energy level. And so we'd have to say, it would Mike Keenan on charisma. And he'd had this just blasé, horrible bite. It was the worst money we ever spent in our life. And then he'd have to actually come into the studio on Sundays and everything. And he wasn't a mean guy. And he was actually pretty conversational when he wasn't on the air. But on the air, he was not good at all.
And there's only a few people in that building. I think Mike Caruso got along with him, got promoted by him. So there's some people left in the building who say good things. And Bobby Plager.
You're right.
Has been real complimentary. Said he would have given the chance to maybe do what he wanted to do, maybe a longer run, would have done good things. That's amazing, though, when you think about it. Winning the Stanley Cup with the Rangers, and you walk away.
Yeah.
And then last year, Barry Trotz wins the Stanley Cup. And leaves. Granted, there's other circumstances. There's some bad blood. But when we thought, well, Berube will never leave, it's amazing to think how it does happen.
Yeah, I'll never forget. Wait a minute. Who ran into Grant Fuhr?
Kiprios.
Yeah, Kiprios in Boston telling me, because he was on that Ranger team. He said a third of the locker room liked him. A third of the locker room hated him. And a third of the locker room wanted to kill him.
All right, five for Frank. Number four, what was the percentage that the Astros' Jake Marisnyk would be hit last night by the Angels? I don't know if you saw any of the video, but Pujols got in the middle of it, and he started walking towards the Astros' dugout by himself, wagging his finger, kind of like Dikembe, saying, like, you guys don't have any right to say anything, because clearly everyone in the building knew he was getting drilled. Do you think that was beyond 100%?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And number five, Deadspin on Barry Sanders' birthday yesterday said, the coolest player who ever lived.
No.
Barry Sanders.
Gale Sayers was.
And I'm thinking running backs. Even Walter Payton was elegant. I mean, it's almost always a running back. Joe Namath was bravado and fun.
Yeah, but Plowsy, you should YouTube Gale Sayers moments, and then it's like a no-brainer.
The coolest player.
And God bless Gale Sayers, who is really in terrible, terrible shape. Not just physically, but mentally. He paid a horrible price for his career. But when you see Sayers, I mean, as great as Barry Sanders was, nobody played like Sayers. God, those cuts.
And playing at Wrigley Field. I just can't picture an NFL game.
He had the 6-touchdown performance at Candlestick Park. Tore up his knee and then came back and then still led the NFL in rushing, but wasn't quite as electric.
It's usually a running back, isn't it, though, when you think elegant? Like Tony Dorsett, when I was a kid, he was pretty elegant as a player.
Oh, Eric Dickerson, baby, was my favorite to watch. Although, you know, his personality's great, too. A little outspoken, but Eric Dickerson was my favorite running back.
Because he ran upright, Dickerson, And I hate to say this, but O.J. Simpson, he was beautiful to watch, too. You know, as a running back, he was something else.
You really got to add that caveat.
As a football player.
No, it's true.
He's a great Twitter follower, too, I might say.
Have you been following him?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I think we had this great debate, Coveted Hour, back in the day. Charlie and I were saying we couldn't do it. We couldn't hit follow.
I'm telling you, he's so oblivious.
Does he have a lot of followers?
Oh, yeah.
856,000.
They want to know who the killer
is. And every video is just one pun, one murder question.
No.
After, yes.
From him?
No.
From the
Yeah, you would have known if it was from him, no, but the comment section on his videos
that's
and things
why
like that.
That's why you follow it, is for the comment section.
It's gold. Yeah,
so
it's,
he's collecting his NFL pension, even though he owes all that money.
I think they decided that they couldn't touch that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for some reason,
yeah,
he can't touch the pension. Wow.
Living in Florida, they said making about $300,000 a year.
Yeah. Gosh. Still follows the Heisman Trophy, which I think is kind of weird on Twitter.
What'd you say?
He follows the Heisman Trophy on Twitter. Huh. I think he wants it back.
Well, are you going to play Norm?
We'll play that later.
He probably has a couple ideas on how to get it back. So.
I mean, if he hits a golf shot and he slices it, I mean, you just, the jokes.
I'm telling you, the comments are hilarious. People are very creative nowadays, Frank. And on Twitter, you see those come out in full force with some OJ tweets.
I always go back to that old SNL skit where Tim Meadows is playing OJ and he's the football analyst and he's drawing up what a certain team is doing on a play and it spells out, I did it. So the halfback goes up this way and the wide receiver does this little circular thing and it's like a D and it all spells out, I did it on the screen.
Do you think he reads the comment section?
I think he's aware that people think he murdered two people still. What's funny is he'll give his actual fantasy football take, like, oh, I'd take Ezekiel Elliott over Todd Gurley. It's like, but in reality, we don't care about that. What happened on that night?
Hey, OJ, a couple of quick questions. All right, I'll take your fantasy football questions here. Did you murder those
people? But did you see when he first got on Twitter, he was talking about the haters and naysayers.
He's going to get even.
Like, some of those.
That's horrifying. Oh.
You know what's amazing?
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case.
Norm is unbelievable.
Just a word of advice.
Love Norm
McDonald. And that ruined his hosting career, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he hosted a lot of events.
He was never invited back because he had a couple of jabs in there about one was Michael Jordan retiring and, you know, he was happy, golf hustlers. Taking jabs at a lot of prominent athletes. And that was it for him.
Yeah. In SNL,
he had a good run.
It was Don Olmeyer, who was the producer, who was buddies with OJ. And then said, get Norm out of here. Because he kept riding the OJ train.
Murder is now legal in the state of California. was his famous SNL line after the verdict of not guilty.
All right, Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University. And don't forget, Appliance Discounters now has 7 area locations. That includes the one in Maplewood, Richmond Heights, right off Laclede Station Road. It's the Deer Creek Plaza location. That is the one called the Art of Appliance. So if you're looking for a bold color for your appliance, maybe something unique, stop by the Maplewood location. You can also go out to St. Charles, Baldwin, South County, Webster Groves, City of St. Louis, and in Fairview Heights, Illinois. On the web, theappliancediscounters.com. The biggest names in the appliance world at the lowest prices. It's real simple. Stop by and see them. The Appliance Discounters, where their savings are your savings. It's the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan.